Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me now is the National Director of Recruiting for 24/7 Sports. It's Brandon Huffman. Huff, how you doing, man?
Not bad. How you guys doing?
You know what? Doing okay. If you're doing a recruiting show about the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers, life is pretty good right now. The Beavers have Aiden Childs, who on this show, we had him on the show maybe a year ago and started kind of banging the table for him as a big-time prospect. Oregon now with a top 10 class in the country after three commitments. Things looking pretty good here. Oregon, number six in the nation after adding Michael Van Buren, Zadavian Sims, and Dylan Gresham. My first question for you, Brandon, is this going to be a year where Oregon kind of finally cracks the top five across the consensus rankings, or is this a blip because they've got a lot of early summer activity, and as everyone else adds commitments, Oregon's going to kind of creep back down to that 10, 11, 12 range they've sat in pretty consistently over the last 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the start to this class is really strong, and they're usually a school that closes really well too. So there may not be as much action in the between stages. There might be a strong summer, and then December is where it really ramps up, and it might be quiet from August to November. But I anticipate that they're going to end up in the top 10, trending up toward the top five class. I also think there might be some guys in this class, and I'm not going to name any names, but there might be a couple guys in this class that are committed that may not ultimately end up signing with Oregon from a space standpoint because they might be in it for better players. But I think this class has the makings to be a top five, top seven class when it's all said and done.
What's really interesting about this group is what they could add, because I think if Dan Lanning has his way, if this staff has his way, has their way, they don't have a top three headliner for what they could have by signing day. Brandon Baker out of Modern Day, the number one offensive tackle in the country. Elijah Rushing, one of the top edge rushers in the country. There are a number of folks that Oregon's in the mix for. Justin Williams is another one, the five-star linebacker out of Oak Ridge. Is this a year where they push that 3 5-star record that they have? They've never signed more than three in a class, 3 5-stars in one class. They've done it twice. Certainly it looks like that's the goal. Is it doable?
I think it is doable. I think, you know, with a guy like Elijah Rushing on the table, a guy like Brandon Baker on the table, and then there's going to be, you know, some random guy who's going to be a late bloomer that probably ends up in the top five, or as a 5-star top 32 guy, that Oregon's probably going to be in the mix for. So, and there might be a guy that's already in the top 32 right now who maybe doesn't have Oregon as high on his list, but as things start to percolate a little bit more in the fall, could end up in the mix. So I certainly think that they've got the momentum to get multiple 5-stars, and obviously they're trending well with Brandon Baker, you know, with a Ryan Wingo and Elijah Rushing, Justin Williams. Those are the guys that you really want to wow them when they come into town for a visit and really try to leave, you know, a good taste in their mouth. So that way when they leave, if they, you know, end up visiting earlier rather than later in the year, that momentum is able to carry them all the way until the end of December.
You talked about some of the biggest risers that Oregon could jump in for. They've been in the mix for this kid, although he is a riser. Aiden Breland, another player from Modern Day, in your updated rankings, which I think are great. There were a number of guys I was kind of like, where is this guy going to end up? They all climbed. So that was really encouraging. One, because it means I'm not full of it. And two, it means you guys are doing a great job. Breland climbs up to the number six player in America. Definitely a guy that's been on my radar. He's visiting Oregon. He's visiting Georgia. He's visiting Miami and Texas A&M officially. What do you feel like Oregon's chances are there? That's the kind of prospect, frankly, that Oregon doesn't get that often, that big body, dominant defensive lineman inside. Obviously, Haloti Ngata rings a lot of bells for Oregon fans, but there aren't many guys out there like Aiden Breland in Oregon's history.
No, and that's where you have to kind of tip your cap to the recent track record at Modern Day and getting some of those key players from Modern Day in recent classes, and obviously being in the mix for Brandon Baker, who is good friends with Aiden Breland, and being in the stretch run for a guy like Baker. A lot of times when you have a kid who's got offers from all over the country, as it gets closer to it, then maybe it's familiarity that starts to work out. So in a case like Brandon Baker, who obviously knows Oregon, that certainly helps, but in the case of an Aiden Breland, having a familiar face like a Brandon Baker could be that ace in the hole that gets Oregon, you know, that much more on secure ground with him. But you're going to have to, you know, withstand a Georgia visit. You're going to have to withstand a school that's cranked out a number of defensive linemen in recent years going into the first round, and that's something that's going to weigh heavily with Breland. With a school like Miami, I mean, obviously you've got Jason Taylor, you know, coaching him on the defensive line, Joe Salavea as well. You know, an NFL Hall of Famer certainly doesn't hurt, even if he's still relatively new in recruiting and coaching the position. But then you also, you know, you have a school like Colorado that's an even bigger wild card. Like, does Deion now have the effect where he can kind of sneak into this group of a Georgia, Miami, Oregon, and Texas A&M and pull off a Big Ten center? So there's a long way to go with Breland. I know he's got the 4 visits in the month of June, but this is a recruitment that I could see taking a little bit longer than making a July decision, even with all those visits front-loaded.
Talking to Brandon Huffman, the National Director of Recruiting at 24/7 Sports, I thought last year Dan Lanning, and a lot of coaches were, this isn't a criticism of Lanning, but a lot of head coaches were feeling out the NIL process, and there were kind of hiccups along the way for different schools. I thought Oregon got hit a little bit with the approach. I think they weren't sure exactly how the market would play out. I think it was difficult for a number of schools to figure that thing out, and I think the schools that were on top of it early or had kind of had that established ahead of time did a much better job, and I think the Pac-12 as a whole was a little bit behind the eight ball, and so because of that, Lanning had to kind of hit the ground running. This year, it seems like they have a much better feel for the landscape in the NIL era, and it really feels like this recruiting class is very Dan Lanning. They're doing a good job in the trenches. They're in it for a number of big-time guys in the trenches. He's trusting his assistants, Junior Adams at the wide receiver position in particular, to go help them get better at positions of need. And it just feels like Oregon's in a pretty good position from a 10,000-foot view. Dan Lanning seems to have a plan in place this year. Is that your read, or am I giving him too much credit?
No, I think it's very, very accurate in that read. And I think you look at the positional diversity in this class, the geographical diversity in this class. They have a plan, not just from an NIL standpoint, but from a positional standpoint, from a, you know, a geographic standpoint. They're not spending all their time in one location. They're not spending all their time at one position. And that trickles down to every aspect. And so when you have a good NIL presentation, when you have a good NIL opportunity, you include that in the entire plan. And then you also know where you might want to cut your losses, where you may not want to necessarily pursue a player because of maybe outrageous or ridiculous NIL requests or demands. I mean, there's a couple of players that I know had visited Oregon back in the fall. I won't name names there either, but there are some guys that I know were definitely interested in Oregon, but also had kind of outlandish requests and demands that are no longer on their board or no longer on number of boards in certain parts of the country. And they're kind of being pushed to go elsewhere because nobody's going to meet the demands for what their talent brings. And so I think that's as much of a key as anything. It's not just having an NIL plan, but it's also being a smart user of the structure of NIL and not taking players just for the sake of taking them and not making promises just for the sake of getting that player, but also saying, is this worth the headache that's going to be accommodating this player if they come here? And that's where I think a second year of Dan Lanning recruiting becomes much more deliberate, much more organized, and much more schematic in their approach to the players.
I thought last year I heard a lot from kids about, and some of it was off the record in the sense that, like, don't quote me, but happily for background, so I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. There were a lot of kids whose visits right away were, how much can I get in NIL? What's the deal I can get in NIL? Or guys visiting and saying, I want 7 figures. And coaches being like, I have no idea what to do with this. It does feel like, in general, the NIL market has matured very quickly. Now, there are still great players who are going to get big deals. But I think most athletes have a decent understanding of the structure of the market right now. And I think most coaching staffs have a better understanding of what their budgets need to be based on position, based on ranking. How much do you feel like the market has kind of sorted itself out, and how much do you think we still have to go before college coaches feel comfortable that it isn't the wild, wild west?
Well, I honestly think that if there was a landmark type of case, a Kirk Flood free agency type of case, a situation where it recalibrated things and recalibrated every side of the market, you know, it was the Jaden Rashada recruitment with all the stories, the numbers that came out. I think it also kind of allowed for coaches to be like, this is ridiculous. We have got to get this under control. Collectives to stop saying, hey, let's just throw all this money out. We got to get a return on our investment with the amount of players that are transferring out after NIL deals. But then I also think that players may have recalibrated their expectations, thinking, oh, I'm going to go get this, and then to see a number that's being thrown out, and then what the number became when, you know, the alternate school became an option, and the vast gap that was between those two. I think a lot of people are kind of recalibrating their expectations and what they want. There's still going to be some that are going to be ridiculous to come in with ridiculous demands. There's going to be some schools that have so much stupid money that they're still going to throw at it. But I also think that the market is resetting a little bit quicker than anticipated. And I think you're going to see more schools use NIL as a enticement for transfer portal players or to keep their players from transferring rather than they are going to be doing it on unproven high schoolers.
It kind of feels like we might have a package. Like, you come here, you get this. If you do better, we'll set you up with more stuff. And if you do better, we'll also make sure you're incentivized to stay. More so than, essentially, other than the elite guys who get a bonus, everyone gets a structured, almost, salary. I know the NCAA and the universities push from calling them employees, but it does feel like it's becoming more that and less, here's $12 million unproven freshmen to go to my school.
100%. I think that as a result of that, you're going to see a kind of, again, recalibration of the market. And you're going to see the schools that kind of maybe outkick their coverage in terms of what they're normally recruiting, the level they're normally recruiting that maybe had NIL. They may still kind of float at the top, but I think you're going to see schools be smarter on what they're offering. And I think they're going to be saying, yes, you have to come here, but we're going to backload this. It's almost like incentive-based NFL contracts or baseball contracts where, you know, you need to come here, improve yourself, and then if you do these, you meet these expectations, then you get this. If not, you're not getting much more than the NLI that we're giving you to sign, and I think that's the way you do it, because what you don't want to have is you entice a kid to come, and then he bounces in a year, and he's getting double that or triple that or whatever it is that's available on the open market. I think schools are realizing that, and you saw it with Miami basketball. You know, when they did bring in a player from Kansas State, and it was, you know, tweeted out how much he was making, then they had to keep the player that was their leading scorer from leaving, and they had to up the ante there. I think you're going to see more of upping the ante with your players that are there and keeping them there after they've met that threshold, rather than guaranteeing players that haven't met any threshold any kind of money. But if they can come to those, you know, they can come to those thresholds, those marks that are set, then maybe they get more of a backload. But I just think the front loading is going to change some.
Okay, I'm giving you the floor for this. You guys were very high on Aiden Chiles early. He signed with Oregon State. He developed into an All-American Bowl selection late. He looked very good in that game. He climbed to a borderline top 50 recruit, a top three or four high school recruit in the history of Oregon State's football program. There's buzz there in Corvallis, man. It is loud. It is present. He's going to be good. And you guys were, if not first, I think you were, then you were right there of anybody I knew. How good can this guy be, and how good do you think he will be?
It was right about last March when I saw him for the first time. For a backstory, I went to college with his coach. I've known his coach for 25 years. My brother and him were teammates in college as well. So I've known, you know, of Aiden. And I remember at the time when he was, you know, his only offer was Houston Baptist. And that reason for that offer was his high school coach's head coach in college was the head coach there. And then he got a San Jose State offer. And I saw him at a 7-on-7 tournament where the majority of his team was non-Division I players take his team to the championship. And, in fact, what was most striking is he wasn't even invited to the Under Armour camp in Southern California. That's why he was playing in that day. He ends up getting an invite to the Oakland event, wins the MVP about a year ago this week. And from there, his stock just started to soar. And it came together really during his senior season and really had that chance to emerge. keep in mind, you know, he was at Los Alamitos his first 2 years. They had a quarterback named Malachi Nelson. So Aiden Childs realized, I got to get on the field. He's overshadowed across town by Nico Yamaliava. And when you're in your backyard of Southern California, you have two quarterbacks like that, a test, you know, getting all the attention, it's easy to be overlooked. So he just kept his mouth shut, kept his head down. His senior season starts with a bang. He was a four-star after, like, the first three games of the season, and then just continued to trend upward. And in an era where quarterbacks are getting older and older before they get to college, he's still young for his grade. I don't think he even turns 18 until the beginning of his senior year.
Right.
So there is still so much physical growth that he's going to be able to do, but he's got that demeanor, that swag to him, but it's a quiet confidence. He's not the loud swagger kid. He's the kid that's the quiet swag, like, watch what I'm going to do to you. Doubt me and pay for that at your own peril.
Brandon Huffman, National Director of Recruiting at 24/7 Sports. Thank you, as always, for your time, man. We'll have you on again soon. Appreciate you.
Sounds good, Andy. Thanks, man.
Uh-huh. A lot of good there. And I do think it's always nice. I use Huffman sometimes as like a sounding board. So I'll hear a bunch of stuff, and then I'll give him a call. He's been in the business for so long. And I'll give him a call and just be like, hey, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that the market's maturing, that this is more of like a almost salaried employees, essentially, and that's where it's going all over. And I'll have 10, 12 coaches tell me that. And then I'll be like, I'm on the right track, right? And he'll say yes, or sometimes he will say, I'd make a few more calls. He is a wonderful guy for giving his time and using his various resources to keep the recruiting conversation on the rails, and he does a nice job. And it was tough last year because whether or not it was from him, I mean, my stories were the number of kids I talked to who were like, I'm just trying to figure out how much money I get. Don't write that. But that's what it's about. It was really tough. I heard that so many times, and it was so unfun. Covering recruiting last year was the least fun I had covering recruiting, maybe ever, because at the end of the day, especially the guys that waited into the fall, they were waiting into the fall because they were looking for a price tag to come their way, not necessarily for them to fall in love with a school or a coach, and that's not a fun way to cover recruiting. I do want to talk about a recruit that is a lot of fun to watch. I wrote about him in March as one of my four players in Oregon to watch. He had next to no offers, but he looked fantastic. He looked like a Power 5 kid. He's now officially a Power 5 kid with multiple Power 5 offers. Elias Johnson from Jesuit High School joins the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.